All right, on your table, you have some finger cuffs. Find the finger cuff there and wave it at me. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to stick your finger in it. I want you to let your neighbor stick his finger in the other side. Go ahead, come on. You guys are just overgrown kids anyway. All right, how many of you are in alignment now? Don't you wish alignment was that easy? But alignment is exactly what we need in Royal Rangers between national and district ministries, because when we do it, we enjoy success at the local level. Amen? Let's take a look at this chart that's on the screen right now. When the national plays its role properly, and the district plays its role properly, then we are lined up with our evangelize, equip, empower cause. Here's how it works. Look at the evangelize row there, and you'll notice the district priority is to grow the number of churches using Royal Rangers. The national role is to develop curriculum that the men in our churches will find enjoyable to use, curriculum that will enable them to enjoy ministerial success. Let's face it, if the men don't like our curriculum, we're toast. True? So we have to build good curriculum. That's important to growth. And then we need to create at the national level good public relations materials that districts can use and local churches can use. And that's why we've created the Outpost promotional kit that many of you have already received in the mail. That's the local church piece. And we have a piece that the district commanders received yesterday that's just the first installment of an organizational piece. So we have to be in alignment with one another and in alignment with our evangelize, equip, empower cause. Now let's look at equip. There at equip, districts are called upon to develop leaders. You are on the front lines of developing our leaders. When we have good leaders, we have great success. Everything rises and falls based on leadership. The national, its role is in the area of training by developing the standards, by helping districts by way of our regions to search and shape the very best instructors that we possibly can. And finally, by setting an example in key events like the National Rangers Ministry Camp that will be launched next year. And finally, the Empower Cause. We all have to work together in this Empower Cause. And districts, their role, as you can see on the chart, is to relate, to create a community that loves extravagantly. Have you ever been to a conference and heard that your job is to create a community that loves extravagantly? But that's what one of your primary jobs is, because we are in ministry. We're in people business. And we'll talk about that here in a moment. National, our role is to model key events and to create the mission structure that's in alignment with the entire missions structure of our entire organization. That's why we have the partnerships with Royal Rangers International. And that's why we're asking every district to find 7 churches to support Royal Rangers International. Couldn't help myself. Had to throw that in there. That's why we support missionaries like David Jenkins down here and others like Robert Jimenez. That's why we are linked up with BGMC and Speed the Light, and more on that in the afternoon. But all of these efforts at national and district levels is synced up with our Empower Cause. Is that good? Let's move on. Let's take a closer look at the top priority of the district, the top 3 priorities of the district, starting with the first, which is to grow. This is your evangelism cause. And let's just face it. It is very easy for busyness to encroach on this number 1 priority, is it not? It is so easy for a district to get busy doing the events that we fail to actually go out and find new churches to launch Royal Rangers. So we can never allow busyness to crowd that out. Here's the second problem that sometimes prevents us from really growing, and that is that we can think erroneously that events is the district's primary way to achieve evangelism. Do we thank God for the boys that come to Christ when Fred Deaver speaks at our camps? Absolutely. We are always trying to make our events evangelistic, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. What I am saying clearly, though, is that the role of the district, the primary way that districts achieve growth and achieve evangelism, is not primarily events. It is going out and finding new churches that do not have Roll Rangers and inspiring them to launch Roll Rangers. I had sure hoped I'd get at least a little encouragement there. Show me a little love, man. You see, this is how Roll Rangers grows. We go out and we find new churches because this is our growth formula. The more churches that we have, the more men that will involve themselves in Roll Rangers. And the more men we have in Roll Rangers, the more boys we will have in Roll Rangers. That is our growth formula, and it is so simple that it's easy to forget that sometimes the most important things are simple. So the district's primary way to achieve growth in evangelism is in going out and finding churches that have never started Roll Rangers and encourage them to do so. Let me just quote you a few statistics. We have somewhere in the vicinity of 7,500 Assembly of God churches that do not have Roll Rangers today. 6,000 of them or so, I'm just using a number I'm kind of pulling out of the hat because I don't know exactly, but there's probably at least half of our AG churches, that's why I'm just pulling 6,000, that have never had Roll Rangers, which means these aren't people that you have to convince that the old burned over territory and the hardships you ever had with Rangers, we've changed it. They know nothing about the past. And guess what? It's fertile land that you can plant and invest in. And there's at least 6,000 churches that have a very positive experience with Roll Rangers because they've had no experience. That may not have come out right. 25,000, approximately, and there may be more, Pentecostal charismatic churches of North America that have never had Roll Rangers. Do you think our pioneering days in Roll Rangers are over? Absolutely not. We have incredible growth opportunity, but it is only going to happen if districts are intentional about getting out there and encouraging these churches, informing these churches, inspiring these church leaders to adopt Roll Rangers. And to that end, I'm excited to announce, and you can read about it in the operational guidelines in the magazine that's in front of you, announced the creation of a new position at the district level called the District Outreach Coordinator. The purpose of this position is specifically to assemble a team at the district level that will go out and have the gift of the God-given gift of woo. That's somewhere in the Bible. Get out there with the gift of woo and assemble a team of men that have the gift of woo, and their job is going to be one part getting out and finding new market. You don't mind me using a sales term, do you? Getting out there and finding churches that have never launched Roll Rangers and encouraging them, inspiring them, and giving them a reason to do so. That's the first part of the job. And the second part of their job is to be the voice for missions in the district. Be the ones that say, let's support Roll Rangers International with those seven churches that we already talked about and we'll keep talking about all day. Getting out there and supporting Roll Ranger missionaries. Getting out there and encouraging participation in BGMC and Pathfinder Missions and Speed the Light. Let me tell you, missions is the heart of God. So why wouldn't we have a position at the district level entirely focused on the heart of God, on evangelism, on getting out and finding new churches to launch Roll Rangers and getting all of the men, all of the boys in the district involved in missions, because when that happens, Roll Rangers is going to grow. And we'll talk a little bit more about that position later. But let me just conclude this point here. Growth will only happen if we're very intentional about it. And many of the changes that we are making, and I'm not going to go into a long laundry list of all the changes we're making at this point, but let me just say this. Many of the changes we are making in Roll Rangers is so that this position will be successful. We're making Roll Rangers more affordable and more practical. We're making entry points where you can come into Roll Rangers and spend less money to get it launched. And churches can run Roll Rangers with just a t-shirt. Is that okay? Wouldn't we rather see boys get uniformed in white in heaven instead of saying you have to be uniformed now or we don't want you? What's more important here? And so we're making changes because we know the heart of God is evangelism, and we want to make this person's job and this team's job possible by creating a system and a ministry that they can easily sell to any church. You're too small? No way. We've resolved the manpower issue, and let me show you how. It's too expensive. We've resolved that. Let me show you why. Amen? We have growth potential, and we are positioning ourselves to grow. Amen? So we're making the system changes. We're making the program changes. We're making the position so that we will be able to be intentional about growth. And everyone said, amen. Let's move quickly to the second of the top three priorities of the district, which is to equip or develop leaders. When God gives us a new leader out of one of those new churches that launches Roll Rangers, God is giving us a sacred trust. Because this leader is going to attract boys. This man, this woman is going to cause growth in that church's ministry, and there's going to be boys coming to Christ because of their ministry. It's a sacred trust. And so once the grow team gets a new church to start Roll Rangers and leaders respond, then the develop team has to kick into place. The training team has to kick into place and be ready to train those leaders because it is a sacred trust. And we must train them well so that they can enjoy ministry success. Let's move to the slide that has the four principles that we're going to talk about very quickly here about the develop principles in the district. The first principle, if we are going to be in alignment with national and district so that we can develop these leaders, first off, is that we must offer high-quality training quickly and close to home. We have made changes in the training program so that districts are largely focusing on two main things. The immediate training of these new leaders is Ranger Basics and Ranger Essentials. And districts, you need to be prepared. As God raises up these new churches, be prepared to move swiftly so that you can train these new leaders using Ranger Basics and Ranger Essentials. If they have to wait 6 months before they get training, that's 6 months the devil can communicate all the reasons to that leader they shouldn't get involved. So we need to respond quickly. It's a sacred trust every time Roll Rangers gets a new leader. So let's offer high-quality training quickly, close to home. Let's go out of our way to make those leaders immediately begin to enjoy ministry success. Number one principle for success in this area. Second is to implement the National District Training Strategy. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this. In fact, there's so much information, we knew there was no way you could possibly endure all of it because we'd sit you here for 3 days, never let you out, not even to go to the bathroom. So we wrote it down so you can read it when you go home. So we're hitting highlights, but you're going to need to come back after council and read this magazine. I knew reading was going to really create a serious shout of glory there. Look at page 29. We're on the second column, second paragraph. This is essentially, and you might want to just highlight it right now, that whole paragraph. This is the district national training strategy in a nutshell. It says, Ranger Basics and Ranger Essentials are intended to be the immediate and quickly available training for new leaders. Districts build on these in 5 ways. Implementing the district national training strategy. Number one, vigorously promoting the completion of all 4 outpost leader advancement levels and earning the Medal of Excellence. That's number one. Number two, strategically building their action team lineup beginning in 2011. All of this is described in the Seek and Save articles. So here again, we're not going to take time to explain it all, but this is the strategy. Number three, implement their district junior leadership development camps. Junior leaders are key to addressing the manpower issue in the small church and the big church and the medium church. Number four, inviting the involvement of gifted communicators and potential instructors in the training academy. At that point, it's where men begin to minister to other men. And if Royal Rangers is to be successful, we are first a ministry to men. And then those men minister to boys, because that's part of our growth formula. So we need men that will be instructors and can minister to other men and inspire them and help them enjoy ministry success. And number five, promote the involvement of all organizational leaders in the organizational leaders training track. All these are done in alignment with and in accordance with national guidelines. I knew the guidelines part wouldn't create another big shout of glory. Number three, on the screen, implement all training according to national guidelines. That was your second opportunity to say amen. We have engineered the training process to simplify it, to value the time of the men that attend our training. It's ready, safety, trained, and advanced. That's what's coming. Districts primarily focus at the beginning, the immediate, quickly available training, top-notch training is Ranger Basics, Ranger Essentials. All of this system run according to national guidelines, and we're going to talk about the importance of that in here in just a second. Number four, back on the screen, ensure training methods mirror curricular philosophy. Ensure that training methods mirror curricular philosophy. Curriculum and training must be in alignment with one another. They must be a perfect image of one another. You see, if the national role in growing the ministry is to create, number one, excellent curriculum that men will be able to find a useful tool to evangelize, equip, and empower boys. If our curriculum presents Royal Rangers this way, then training should perfectly mirror it like my hands mirror one another. But if curriculum is shaped like this, and curriculum or training is shaped like this, they don't mirror each other. And that's a problem. And so we have to make sure that training and curriculum mirror one another. After all, training is men learning how to use the curricular tool in order to enjoy ministry success. True or false? So when a district, for instance, not that district's the only one that could do it, we could have a national event where we have leaders not in alignment either, but if our materials present Royal Rangers like this and our leaders present training like this, then we have misalignment. And at best, it's going to be comical. How many of you want people laughing at Royal Rangers? It's not fun. But at worst, it's going to be confusing and contradictory. So training and curriculum must mirror one another. And so for that reason, it's vitally important that at the district level, we follow national guidelines, national policy, that our methodology and our philosophy mirrors curriculum. I've heard the argument, yeah, but if curriculum is wrong, we're going to correct it in training. How can you correct a curricular problem in training? The wisest thing to do is go straight to the source. True? And correct the problem. And that's what we're committed to doing as best we can, is to constantly keep our curriculum up to date. And we got some great news I'm going to share with you this afternoon down those lines. But if there is a curricular problem, let's fix the curriculum problem, and let's then adjust the training methods, the training guidelines, the training policies, the training philosophy, so that we keep curriculum and training mirroring one another. Amen. Very, very important. Now, to this end, we are committed, as we roll out training later this year, next year, and Steve will describe the entire timeline this afternoon, but as we do it, it is very important that we are committed at the national and district level to being in alignment in this regard. Everything that we show, everything we teach at district training, national training, any training, junior training, mirrors national curriculum. Because when we do this, we maximize our potential. Amen? Amen? But when we have misalignment, we lose opportunity. We want everything that we model and teach and do at training for a local leader to be able to go to the bank on that. He says, I saw the instructors wear this gear, and I can wear that gear. That's success. I saw my instructors doing a lot of hands-on stuff. That must spell success. I'm going to do that too. I saw my leaders talking kindly to me. That must spell success at the local level. They were friendly. There was nobody shouting at me. There was nobody walking around with shades threatening me. They were friendly. That must spell success at the local level. Am I meddling now? Do I have permission? If I don't, I'm doing it anyway. Everything we do in our training must spell success at the local level. Otherwise, it's a lost opportunity. If we have to conclude our training with the caveat, okay, guys, you just saw me doing this, that, or the other. You just saw me wearing that or the other. You can't do that in your church. Don't you think that's a lost opportunity? Now, I know, I mean, I'm not going to ignore the white elephant in the room here. We've got methodology that has been traditional in Royal Rangers, and it has served well in its time. I don't deny that. But there's some methodology that's got to change. We've already started to make a number of changes in methodology well before I became the national director, and it was the right direction. But we're going to finish it, because there's some things that still have to change. But I'm going to be straight up with you guys. It's not without controversy. And I just want you guys to know, when we talk about these things in the executive committee, yeah, I kind of wish everybody in the executive committee agreed with everything I said. But they don't always agree with me. And I'm subject to their wisdom, and I'm happy to be. But the reality is, this whole topic about, you know, some of our training methodology, even uniform, we've had some heated conversations. And what I want you to do is, I want you to listen to Les Barr. He's gonna talk about a little bit of that. Because we've been through a journey as an executive committee, and we've come to the conclusion that the decisions we're making with regard to some of the methodology in Royal Rangers is the best thing we can do so that we can influence more boys and young men than ever, more effectively than ever. And if keeping things the way it was going to make us more influential and more effective, we'd keep it. But we've concluded that to be effective and successful, there's some changes we need to make. And so to that end, we're willing to make those changes. So Les, where you at? Okay, couldn't see you because of the lights. This is what I want you to hear. If the Royal Rangers ministry is going to change, it will change because individuals are willing to change.
Thank you, Commander Doug. Change and alignment, two words that we've heard quite often the last several years. Is that right? Changing training, changing our uniform, changing the way we look at things in the outpost and the national level. NTC has gone through a big change the last several years, as you know. They said we need to change the way we're doing things to reach more people. We're hearing from the field. The field is saying we're too militaristic. We're turning men away, and men are walking away from our camps. I had one camp where a man literally left during the orientation of the senior guy when they first get there. He said, I'm not going to do this. I had this in the military. He got on in his vehicle and left. Guys, I'm here to tell you, I got an NTC in 1985. I did my NTC in Camp Wilderness. I'm sorry, Flamin' Arrow in Florida. And the first thing I saw when I walked through those gates was all these men wearing these hats. Man, were they impressive. And still are. 1990, I went to the staff school, the last of its kind, Hunia Pass, South Carolina. And I bought my hat. Not this one, this one's JR's. But anyway, I bought my hat, and I was proud of that hat. Because it looked sharp. It was professional. You projected an image. When these trainees walk through that gate at an NTC, you're sharp. you project a certain image of professionalism. 1995 was no different, the first year of the academy. I went to that. The national staff was out there wearing those hats. We all were. Boy, did it look good. 3 or 4 years ago, we were at an executive meeting, our fall meeting at Eagle Rock. Commander Marriott was there, and the issue came up. And he said, we're hearing from the field, the pastors don't like it because we're too militaristic. The hats are there. We're not sending our men. And the numbers show. The numbers over the last several years reflect that. We have gone from up here, 80s, 90s, and some times even 100s, to down in their teens and 20s and 30s in NTC. Don't know that that was the reason. I'm sure it's not totally. But we can't be sure, can we? So they said, we need to change. So we did. We go in and we make a change in NTC. What do? We get rid of the swagger stick. The senior guy is gone. The sunglasses, the mirrored glasses, they're gone. Too intimidating, they say. I don't believe, and we argued about this, we didn't believe that the hat was intimidating. My argument is that it's the man wearing the hat that's intimidating. It's not the hat. And the example I use, and this is no making fun of anyone or any position, but as a mall security cop, there's no teenagers that are intimidated by these mall security, and they all wear these hats. I don't believe they're intimidating. I believe it's the man under the hat. They even went so far as a couple years ago, Commander Perry Siddle came and visited me at an NTC in Georgia, and he wanted to talk to me about the hat. And you see, prior to that, we had already voted it down. As an executive committee, it came up. We voted it down. No, we're in favor of the hat. We want to keep it. We'll give up Naughty. We'll give up the swagger stick. We want to keep the hat. It's that image we wanted to project and protect. Commander Perry talked to me and talked to me, and I wouldn't budge. He even brought several hats to look at what we could wear, Texas style, you know, the cavalry old style. I wouldn't budge. I wasn't going to come off of that. So anyway, Perry and I are great friends. Last May, I believe we had an academy, an advanced academy here at Eagle Rock. Perry asked me to come in a couple days early to stay with him because he wanted to talk some more. He didn't say about the hat, but I knew where it was going. So I went to his house. In 2 days, he held me captive. He fed me well, but he held me captive. And we discussed the hat some more. And we even had hats at the academy. We gave the last graduates at the advanced academy at Eagle Rock some of the old ugly floppy hats that he had. And my response to him was, Perry, if we're bound to go to these hats, at least make us look more professional and not goofy. I didn't want to look goofy because it was so meant so much to me to have that professional look that we needed. So lo and behold, this was then, and a few weeks ago, I get another call. Let me say this first. Let me back up. After that, Perry died. And somewhere along the line, it occurred to me. Remember what I said before about the hat is not intimidating? It's the person under the hat. Well, it occurred to me, the same token, if I take this hat off, I'm still going to be the same leader that I was. There's no difference. If I was a quality leader before, I'm going to be a quality leader without the hat. We can show that professionalism without the hat. We don't need this hat. This is something sacred to me, but it's a thing. It's a material thing. That's all it is. And guys, I'm here to tell you the executive staff has not voted on this again, and they don't necessarily approve of it. But we are in alignment, as Commander Doug says, with the national office. If it means getting one more leader to a camp to reach one more boy, in my mind, it's worth it. So this hat is just a hat. When all is said and done, it's just a hat. I'm going to hang it on my wall, and I'm proud of it, guys. I'm not going to sell it on eBay. Somebody mentioned Commander Fred. Fred, you can get a whole lot of money out of your hat on eBay. Fred's not going to sell his hat. Fred, still Fred. Jim Barger, still Jim Barger. Fred is still Fred. Jim Barger, still Jim Barger. Ralph Palmerton, still Ralph Palmerton. Great senior guides in their day. And I'm sure there's many more out there. But guys, we need to get on the bandwagon here. Whether we approve or not, whether we agree or not, it's irrelevant. It's about reaching, teaching, and keeping boys and leaders for Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Not the hat. And I commend Doug for allowing me to speak. I don't know why me. I guess because I am very passionate about NTCs, the spiritual emphasis, and the hat. Maybe that's why they picked me and a couple more out to talk with you. Because it does mean a lot to me. If you know me, you served on a camp with me, you know my philosophy about professionalism and how if we're outside, we wear the hat. And that's just the way it is. But Commander Doug, thank you. And I hope that I've done what you wanted because it's from the heart. And Commander Doug, I asked him, I said, can I say what I want to say? This is not his words, these are mine. And I said, I want to speak from the heart. And he said, Commander, you say what you need to say. And I want to thank you for that, Commander Doug.
Amen. Thank you. You see, and if the band wants to come up and get ready, we'll let you guys get hooked up there and we'll finish this session out. I told Les, I said, I don't want you to varnish the fact that this is not a unanimous decision, but it is the decision. Why? Because we're not married to these methods. We're married to the mission. And we live in a time where this is the right move to make. We agree as a committee, even though, yeah, there's still those memories of the campaign hat and the different things, but these methods must be in alignment at all levels. We must not be using Naughty. We must not be using these elements in our junior camps. We shouldn't be using it at our local churches. It's amazing how we still have some local churches using these methods. I get to them sometimes. The pastor talks to me. Is this national policy? Absolutely not. At the end of the day, this is what we're saying. National curriculum and the training policies and philosophy have to be synced up. And when we do that, then we bring about local level success. Amen? So quickly, let's move to the third, final, top priority of the district, which is to relate. To relate means that you build a community that loves extravagantly. Amen? You can read about this in the magazine. There's a lot about it. Plus, I'm asking you to consider reading the Think One articles, which is a separate publication that you can download off the website. But, men, we're in the people business. I said we're in the people business. And so when we as a ministry love one another, we are accomplishing three very good things. One, we're serving Christ with the right motive. We love Him because He loved us first. Amen? So love. Show the world how much you love Him. Can you outlove God? Just try it. That's the kind of Christian life you should live. Let's just show love. It's the greatest method for evangelism. By this, the Bible says, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Love is a method for evangelism. And love is our chief motive for serving God and serving one another. And that's the kind of community we must build. Keep the spiritual fires of the Royal Rangers ministry hot. Keep us focused on the passion of our mission and not the tools or methods we use. Amen? And let's love extravagantly. Amen? Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
So let's bring the district to strict alignment with the national and the national with the district, and let's grow the number of churches, let's develop leaders, and let's build a loving community. Amen?